Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So after a decade of being under a consent decree, and after having monitors, consultants, millions of dollars spent, I was made aware of an internal investigation, and it was interesting to find out that ranking members within the NOPD have internal conflict about when an actual administrative investigation begins and how it does so. And what's important about this is it affects the rights of police officers under the Police Officers Bill of Rights. I got a clearer understanding of why police officers, when we're trying to retain them and recruit them to this city, one of their primary complaints was not necessarily money, but the manner in which PIB handled internal investigations. And as we talk about this case, you're going to see where it is emblematic of the very frustration that they articulated over and over and over again, not only to federal officials, not only to state officials, but to city officials as well. When I reviewed these investigative reports and put myself in the shoes of Judge Susan Morgan, who has overseen the consent decree for the New Orleans Police Department, I asked myself, how angry would I be if I were the federal judge and I read these reports? Because what you walk away with is that we have not progressed much at all. And here to talk to us about it is Eric Hessler. He's the attorney for Pano and represented the subject of this investigation that was ultimately overthrown by civil service, if my memory serves me correct. And there were some serious comments made by the hearing officer as to the credibility of a number of ranking officers overseeing this investigation. Eric, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Neil. Thank you for having me.
So, Eric, I don't know what you thought about my opening comments, but I was, as I read this, I was just kind of incredulous as to what's going on. So for the purposes of the backdrop for the listening audience, so that we can put this in context, if you could kind of run us through the timeline and what it means.
Okay, well, let me start by saying this. The only thing I would disagree with is when you said that they can't agree when the investigation begins. I would say that the evidence shows that they know darn good and well when the investigation began, but they manipulate and lie and create their own dates so they can comply with the law. They know when the investigation begins. They just choose to circumvent the law, and then in their final reports and their preparation of documents, they change the dates so that they're in compliance with the law.
And that is fair. That is fair. I appreciate the correction.
Oh, no. I understand. But In regards to this particular investigation, we've been suspecting this for quite a long time. We've had civil service. It's been exposed on occasions when we had the ability to find that evidence. But in this case, it was admitted that in 99% of the cases where they use or sensitive cases where they use the special investigation squad, that they do manipulate the dates to avoid compliance with the state law. And that happened here. There was an investigation done. The complaint was received by the Public Integrity Bureau in August of 2020.
And 2019,
And it wasn't until January of 20 that they used the date of January 20 to say that's when they received a complaint. So they investigated it for some 4 months before using the beginning date, and then doctored documents in the report to try and conceal the fact that they violated state law. When Pano investigated, we found it quite clear that they did so, and we made a complaint. And the investigation was handled with internally, and it was handled by a captain who was, I can only imagine, was under enormous pressure from all sides. But nevertheless, he did his job, and he sustained the fact that the PIB deputy chief violated the law and falsified records.
And that was Arlinda Westbrook, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, go ahead.
When we received that evidence, we received some of it from the Office of the Independent Police Monitor. Oddly enough, in the hearings, the police monitor was present, but knew that the dates had been falsified and knew that the reports that we were given were incorrect. And oddly enough, they remained silent on that issue until I did public records request preparing for the civil service hearing, when I was able to show that these records had been falsified, the document and the reports and the dates had been changed. I passed that information on to the city attorney's office. They quickly agreed and dismissed all charges against the NLPD officer, and gave him his time back for which he had been suspended. So this disciplinary action took place and was imposed on the officer. By everybody in the room at the time knew it was false and not factual, except myself and my client. So you know, that's a big problem, and it's not the first time it's happened.
So this all has to do with this cognizance date that they keep referring to in these investigative reports as to when the investigation actually starts as an administrative investigation, because under the Policeman's Bill of Rights, there are rights given to the accused officer. You must complete the investigation, I believe, within 60 days, right?
60 days, or you can actually ask for an extension up to 120.
Depending on the nature of the investigation, you can ask for an extension, and it's extended to 120, but there's a caveat that at the end, after the 60th day, there's a note. If you get the extension, there's a notification to the accused that there's an ongoing internal investigation. Correct?
That is correct.
So, what I find absolutely incredulous here is that you have the Independent Police Monitor's Office, you have the Public Integrity Bureau, as to when that actually occurs. Because what it seems to me that they're doing is they're conducting investigations, and then Arlinda Westbrook had the complete authority to decide when it was no longer criminal and it moved to administrative, which would begin tolling the clock for the administrative investigation relative to the Policeman's Bill of Rights. Is that a fair characterization?
That is fair, but in this instance, there were no allegations of criminal conduct, and it was never investigated criminally, so that wouldn't have been a consideration.
So, but it seems as though they used that, right?
It depends on what version you listen to. There were several versions that were given by the deputy chief onto why the timelines were exceeded, but never one consistent reason.
So the intake officer in PIB is an individual by the name of Banks. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Captain Banks.
Right.
And she may have given the most honest statement in this internal investigation that there was to give. And I quote, Captain Banks stated that when SIS is involved, control numbers, meaning the cognizance date, are not issued until Chief Westbrook gives you the green light to do so. Also, when control numbers are cut, the date used as the cognizance of the allegation, meaning that we are now aware of the allegation, the administrative clock starts to toll, right, is the date that Chief Westbrook gave the green light to do so. Captain Banks stated that the reason for this practice is because when a control number is cut, most likely an extension request is going to be filed because they know they're not going to complete it in 60 days, correct?
That's correct.
When an extension request is filed, the accused officer is notified of an ongoing investigation involving him or her. Usually the accused officer or the accused officer's attorney will attend the extension hearing, and the allegations against him or her would be revealed. Captain Banks advised that to keep behaviors, if there are any, from changing on an accused employee, the control number is not cut until the surveillance is done in an effort not to interfere with the SIS covert operations. So she basically admits that this is done in order to circumvent the tolling of the clock of the administration's investigation so that no one knows the wiser and they can proceed basically as slow or as fast as they choose.
And that testimony was truthful and it was accurate. And we appreciate it because it shows the level and extent that the leadership of PIB would go to come out with the ultimate findings, whatever those may be, that they wish to have. This was admitted to by almost every witness. They weren't as honest and truthful as Captain Banks was, but in fact, some of them were deemed not to be even credible in their statements. So it just shows you the extent and the depth of the problem.
So the administrative judge characterized the deputy superintendent, Arlinda Westbrook's testimony as follows.
Now let me stop you right there, Norton. That testimony was in a previous investigation.
Right, I was going to make that point. But a lot of the facts as to the timing of the tolling of this clock are the same. Correct.
Absolutely, 100%.
Deputy Superintendent Westbrook's testimony was also evasive and in conflict with that of her subordinate, Sergeant Jacquet. Sergeant Jacquet testified that the formal investigation was initiated based upon the results of the surveillance. Deputy Superintendent Westbrook testified that the eventual initiation of a formal complaint was not connected to the months of surveillance she authorized. She stated that she had no actual knowledge of the individuals who were the subjects of the surveillance. Her testimony suggests that she was not aware that the appellant was under surveillance and that she did not know that SIS had observed repeated alleged violations of internal policy by the appellant. Her testimony is troubling in that it suggests that she either misrepresented the truth regarding her knowledge of a violation, which required her to initiate a formal investigation, or that she was not properly supervising her subordinate Sergeant Jacquet by her failure to stay abreast of the surveillance of a conspicuous high-ranking member of the department. Now, this one individual, Deputy Superintendent Arlinda Westbrook, she had the sole authority to formalized surveillance on a investigation, also to determine whether or not they were proceeding criminally or administratively, and when one ended and the other one started. Is that a fair characterization?
That's accurate. He was the only one that could authorize surveillance on officers, as well as authorize the implementation or beginning of a criminal investigation.
Now, how did you actually figure out that in this particular case, none of these dates on the timeline were kind of jiving with what everybody was saying what was happening?
Because one of the individuals, one of the dates wasn't manipulated. It was the intake officer, who happened to be that same Captain Banks, actually put the proper date on the document, and I guess somebody behind her up the chain failed to realize it and didn't change it. So it remained the same, and so it properly documented the intake date, but every other document that followed did not.
So it wasn't until, I guess, you requested the document, and how did you request the documents?
I did a public records request.
So the accused officer is not entitled to these investigative reports while through the administration?
We get the reports, but it's really not helpful when the report is filled with inaccuracies, deceitful statements, and made up information. It's kind of hard to figure that out when somebody when an anonymous person makes a complaint to somebody. We have to rely on the word of the reporter, the person that took the report, on when they got it. This was an anonymous complaint. We couldn't go back and interview the complainant. So they were free to a great, great extent, just like any defense attorney. We've got to rely on the honesty and the accuracy of police reports, at least to begin the investigations. I certainly, even as a criminal defense attorney, I certainly question everything in that report. But it's not always easy to find the evidence to corroborate your instincts or your feelings or the fact that something might be amiss.
So we get to this case ultimately gets dismissed. The city attorney's office recognizing, once you produce this information about this disagreement or conflict or however we want to characterize it as it relates to the dates, goes away, right?
That's correct.
And this is after who knows how many hours. I mean, there were, it looks like, somewhere between 6 and 10 people interviewed by Public Integrity. And then we get to, it goes up the chain as it relates to approving this. So when we come back, we'll talk about that with Eric Hessler relative to this case. He's the attorney for Pano. You thought it would have ended there, but this conflict continues all the way to the bitter end. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are back, folks. We're visiting with Eric Hessler, attorney for Pano. We're talking about an internal investigation where all kinds of dates as it relates to when an investigation started has implications for officers under the Policeman's Bill of Rights. And it wasn't until Mr. Hessler filed a complaint with Public Integrity about all of this that it ended up revealing itself. There was a complaint filed against Sabrina Richardson, who was assigned to the Public Integrity Bureau, and they began to look at all of this, conducted interviews with all the players, and what was revealed was this internal friction as to these dates. And these dates played a primary role in this case ultimately being dismissed before the Civil Service Commission. So the way, and as it relates to your complaint, there was an officer that was assigned, Captain LeJean Roberts, who was the investigator, and he began interviewing all of these folks, all being ranking members, from the independent police monitor, Susan Hudson, to the deputy independent police monitor, Stella Zement, to Captain Richardson, to then-Lieutenant Precious Banks, and Captain Precious Banks, and a number of other folks, right?
That's correct.
And a recommendation was ultimately made by this investigative officer, Captain LeJean Roberts, as to the violation of NOPD policy, right?
That is correct.
And what did he find?
Well, in just plain speak, he found that the deputy chief did violate NOPD policies as it relates to adherence to law, in that her practices violated Louisiana Revised Statute 40-2531, which is a state law which mandates how certain investigations, the minimum qualifications of a administrative investigation be carried out, and that she violated the state law knowingly and intentionally. And I think all the witnesses basically testified that, yes, we do that routinely. I think she said she did it 99% of the times that they did these type of investigations, which is shocking. And then they also sustained NOPD rules and regulations as it pertains to writing a false report, which is clearly something that you would expect, and that NOPD officers would be writing reports that were honest and truthful in their information, and certainly not intentionally distorting facts. We would expect that out of a rookie police officer. You certainly would expect that out of the deputy chief of the Public Integrity Bureau, and they didn't live up to those expectations clearly.
So the findings of this officer then goes to Christopher Goodley, Chief Deputy Superintendent of the Field Operations Bureau, because he can't send it to the head of PIB because the head of PIB is actually a subject of the investigation, correct?
That is accurate, yes.
So then Chief Deputy Superintendent Chris Goodley writes an interoffice correspondence summarizing this investigation, reviewing the findings of Captain LeJean Roberts, and what happens then?
Well, he wrote, I believe it's a four-page letter, and he, I guess in it, to characterize it, he certainly downplays the incident, in my opinion. He downplays it. He doesn't deny that it shouldn't have been still considered sustained, and that he admits that she did in fact commit these violations, but he pretty much downplays it and says that she cannot, there's no discipline that can be taken because she's no longer employed by the NOPD, but she still is a city employee. And he changed the officer that wrote the report, the captain that wrote the report, specified in his credibility assessment of various witnesses, he found everybody credible in their testimony except the chief, and he overturned that finding. And when he made that finding, when the captain made that finding, he cited specific reasons and gave examples of contradictions and misleading statements that he used to support it. And the chief basically said, well, I think she was credible because she showed up at the appointed time for her statement, and she answered all the questions to the best of her ability, and basically glossed over the fact that those answers to those questions were, in fact, not truthful or accurate.
And the exact words he used is, upon review of former Deputy Superintendent Arlinda Westbrook's statement and information provided in the investigation, the undersigned did not find any issues with her credibility. As the undersigned reviewed and assessed this area, it appears Arlinda Westbrook fully cooperated with the investigator, answered all questions fully and to the best of her ability. Therefore, the undersigned deems Arlinda Westbrook to be a credible witness as it pertains to this investigation. In the following paragraph, he has a recommendation, which, in my view, contradicts what he said in the previous paragraph. He says, after reviewing this case and based on the preponderance of the evidence derived from the investigation, the undersigned concurs that former employee Deputy Superintendent Arlinda Westbrook may have culpability in this matter, and she appears to have provided direction and guidance on the issuance of the cognizance date for subordinates under her command during her tenure as the Deputy Superintendent of the Public Integrity Bureau for the New Orleans Police Department. However, the rendering of any recommendations of sustained department violation should be considered moot, as the allegations were derived after the accused individual was no longer employed by the New Orleans Police Department. Is that the standard practice?
Absolutely not. That I've never seen, heard, or read that, and I've read thousands of these investigative reports. No, that's not even close to being accurate.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
That once again, that goes to what we've been saying for years, is that different people are treated different ways.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Former Deputy Superintendent Arlinda Westbrook is still a city employee, just not employed by the NOPD. Is that correct?
That's the best of my knowledge. Yes. I think she's in some type of compliance.
My understanding is that she is assigned as the city's representative for compliance for the consent decree to Judge Susie Morgan and the consent decree monitors.
That is correct.
So typically this doesn't happen because if somebody wants to come back to the employ of the NOPD, this recommendation would have been available, right?
Right. It would. And I think it still is. I don't think they overturned the findings. He kind of waffles around it, but it's still a sustained complaint for very, very serious violations and a violation of law, for crying out loud.
So Goodley, then, as the chief deputy superintendent, would, under the policies of the NOPD, would then in turn, and this was similar to how it worked in JP, would in turn send it to the superintendent for the superintendent to have the last word as to whether he concurs or does not concur with the recommendation. Is that right?
That's correct. The superintendent has the final authority and can agree or disagree with the findings and overturn or confirm the findings.
So the report was generated on December 15th, roughly 7 days, I think, before the retirement of Sean Ferguson. There's a signature on the signature line here, concur on December 23rd, which is the day after the chief left, if my memory serves me correct. Who is that signed by for Sean Ferguson?
I believe it was the current deputy chief of PIB that signed for Chief Ferguson, who was not even the chief at the time.
So why would we go backwards in the chain of command?
I have no idea.
And not just wait for the incoming chief to review this, sign off on it one way or the other?
I have no idea. It's a good question, though. And
no one's offered an explanation?
Not really, no. And I think it's a bit unfair to Chief Woodfork that she's in office and nobody advises her of this going on.
So, in summary, how do you sum this up? We've just got about a minute left.
Well, it goes to show that what we've been complaining of for the last several years is more extensive than we thought. And although we've been saying it, we've asked the federal monitors to investigate, we've asked the IG's office to investigate, city council, they've never done so. And in the meantime, we're losing hundreds of officers who are leaving because of this problem, and we're keeping away God knows how many potential applicants who would not come here and work under such circumstances. And that's been proven by the NOPD's own surveys, which show that people are leaving because the main reason is because of their lack of confidence in being treated fairly.
No doubt. This is emblematic. In my view, it's emblematic of this. And if I were the federal judge overseeing this consent decree, I would be going through the roof. That we, after all of this period of time, still don't have a definitive way of delineating a cognizance date as it relates to the beginning of an administrative investigation.
And Newell, after meeting with the federal monitors, I'm not sure that they've kept her fully apprised on the way PIB was being operated on, because the PIB unit was the only one that was deemed to be in full compliance with the consent decree, which, again, is shocking when you have this many obvious problems.
Well, if this is full compliance, I can say without hesitation, this is not a best practice.
I would certainly agree.
That I know for sure. Eric, thank you for joining us. Gutsy, I appreciate the honesty. The light needs to shine on this for sure. This needs to be corrected. Hopefully somebody over there on Camp Street is listening. We'll be right back, folks. Thank you. This is Newell on WWL. I know that.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Might have seemed a little bit confusing as it relates to these investigations, but it intrigued me that there was still this internal conflict, and it's mentioned a number of times in different reports and emails and communications between the upper echelon of the NOPD as to when a administrative investigation actually begins, so that the tolling of the time period under the Policeman's Bill of Rights is applicable. You know, all of this is a balance of interest. And the moment in time where we cannot come to an agreement internally as to when these things happen is subject to confusion, abuse, mistakes. And you're talking about the livelihood of police officers. And in some cases, legitimately accused, and in others, not. But the facts are, is that the process has to be sacrosanct. And the reason I highlighted this today is that as I read through these reports, it occurred to me that it was a validation of what a number of officers and Pano and others had been complaining about relative to these internal investigations. If the police monitor, the deputy police monitor, the head of PIB, the deputy of PIB, if all of these folks can't get on the same sheet of music as it relates to a cognizance date that determines the beginning of an administrative investigation, you know what they say if you start off and you have a weak foundation, right? The old adage. Well, it holds so true here. And when you use the backdrop of the millions upon millions of dollars that have been spent financing this consent decree, bringing in consultants, having monitors, and then in the worst case, the subject of the investigation, who Deputy Chief Goodley says may have culpability in this matter, and she appears to have provided direction and guidance on the issuance of the cognizance date for subordinates under her command and her tenure. But let's not sustain these violations because she's no longer employed by NOPD, but she's employed by the city. And she's monitoring and help monitoring and helping comply with the consent decree. I don't know. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't make much sense to me. Sounds to me like this was the proverbial CYA of somebody's A. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the news break, we'll visit with the NOPD watchdog, Skip Gallagher. He's actually a chemistry professor out at my alma mater, the University of New Orleans. He has been looking at a lot of timesheets, connecting dots, and this and that and everything else. And what we come to find out is that, you know, the safety, security of your family, your home, or your business may be better for some than it is for others. And beginning to wonder how this is all working. It seems to be that prioritization, not so much. And we'll get a backfill of all of these issues when we visit with Skip Gallagher. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the top of the news break. This is Newell on WWL.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.